Unpopular summer opinion. I dislike using koozies on my soda cans. Some of you are like, what's a koozie? I don't call them koozies. I think that's what a majority of people call them. I call them huggies. Whatever you call it, that thing that goes around a can of soda, or maybe a can of something else, I hate using those. They absolutely drive me crazy because I feel like they get soggy and I don't like that feeling, okay? Maybe that's a random summer opinion, but as teachers, we're living that summer teacher life, and for some of us, the summer is winding down. But I've got something fun for you right here, right now in this episode, because speaking of unpopular opinions, this summer replay episode, which was one of the best episodes of last season, is about two unpopular teacher opinions that could change the way that you actually look at this school year in a positive way. These could get your jaws to drop. These could get you nodding in agreement. I'm not sure which direction you're gonna go, but I do know that this is a must listen, and I'm excited for you to check it out. Teachers, I want you to know in advance that during this episode, I'm going to be dropping two very unpopular teaching opinions. I want you to know also in advance that those opinions are coming from the bottom of my heart, because I think sometimes as teachers, especially during a new school year, what we have to do in order to bring out our best teaching is to actually question some things that we've done in the past. To question, am I on the right route to have my best school year yet? These two unpopular opinions are going to be filled with stories and details and motivation, and most importantly, action steps, so that you can feel super good no matter what end of the spectrum you fall on after I deliver these teacher opinions. I promise by the end of the episode, you are actually going to feel refreshed, rejuvenated, and ready to go for this school year. Now, before I get into this dynamic debate, this dynamic episode, what I want to do is read a 5-star review that was left on the Apple Podcast app. The listener of the week is Jill2311, and Jill said, "Thank you for supporting us. I want to sincerely thank you for sharing. The ideas have been absolute game changers when it comes to helping students build better habits, classroom procedures, and also keeping behaviors positive. I am so grateful for these wonderful insights and what you share to help school teachers. This podcast has been an amazing resource, and I look forward to learning more." Thank you so much, Jill, for that 5-star review that you left. That means so much to me. And if you haven't left a written review yet, do me a favor. Take 30 seconds. Shit, it'll take 10 seconds. Take 10 seconds and just do a quick written review on the podcast app that you listen on. That helps spread the This Teacher Life love to more teachers, more listeners, and that means a bigger impact on students. Speaking of impact, I really truly do think that this motivation episode that's packed with some ideas, it's packed with some opinions, is going to make an impact on your school year. So let's get into it. There is awesome in every single school day. Here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. We are just going to get right into this episode, and I'm going to share a very strong potentially unpopular teacher opinion, but will you just do me a favor? If you disagree with what I'm about to say, will you hear me out? Will you just open up your heart for the entire thought? Will you do that? Because I think that's going to be really important as we go through this episode. So here is the first unpopular teaching opinion. I don't think that teaching is hard. I'm going to say that again. I actually don't think that teaching is hard. But here's what I will say. Good teaching is. Teaching isn't hard, but good teaching is. What do I mean by that? Well, I think teaching is basically presenting facts and figures and systems and solutions and methods and those kinds of things. That's what teaching is. And I think as humans, we are wired to actually want to learn. Now, we might not always want to learn what we're supposed to learn. Kids might not always want to learn what we are required to teach and what the curriculum is. But like as humans, human psychology says that we are actually kind of sponges. And that we are there in classrooms, in schools, in life to seek knowledge and grow. So that's a good thing for us. And that means that teaching actually doesn't have to be hard. But the zinger here is that good teaching is hard. For those haters on the internet, and they seem to come out a lot on Facebook, these keyboard warriors who basically come on the internet and say like, oh my gosh, teachers need to get over it. You had your summers off. You get paid to sit on your ass for 3 months out of the year, June, July, and August. This is what teaching actually is. For those people, I think they're looking at what teaching is, and they're right. Like, yeah. It is easy to have 20 kids come into your classroom and you read from a textbook and you give the test and you Xerox the worksheets and you grade the worksheets and you have just a standard grading system and like the principals are supportive and parents are supportive. Like, yeah, that's simple. That is. That's really easy to do. But then we have to ask ourselves, is that actually good teaching? And is that what's actually happening in school? And I don't think that is good teaching. Like, I think when we literally do everything, quote, by the book, and I mean that literally-ish and figuratively-ish, like, when we are just going through the motions, yeah, teaching's really simple. And yeah, you're right. We're just collecting a paycheck, and it's not fulfilling, and it's not like passion driven and kids aren't actually absorbing stuff. And yeah, we're just going through the motions. We're going through the systems, but I don't know about you. That's not what I do. That's not what I want to do. That's not what I'm seeking. I on a daily basis, and I'm going to guess you on a daily basis and on a yearly basis are not trying to be an average teacher. You're trying to be an awesome teacher. And awesome teaching is hard. Getting students engaged in the facts and the figures that we are presenting, getting kids in a hands-on learning experience to make the curriculum come to life, that shit's hard. To get 26 kids on the same page, because that's actually the average class size, not 20. To get every single parent supporting you, that's really hard. To make sure that the test that we are giving is reflecting both curriculum and state standards and what's happening as college and career and life readiness skills, that's really hard. So the unpopular opinion is like, teaching isn't hard, but good teaching is. And in life, I think sometimes what gets us motivated the most is when we commit to saying, and I'm going to do the hard. Because that's the type of teacher that I want to be. But here's the other part of that that becomes wildly difficult. Is how much hard is too hard? How much unsupport is actually going to keep us in the classroom? Where's the line on like, this is crazy and this is a challenge? And I think that's what's causing so many teachers to leave the profession, is because they're like, yeah, I can't handle the current state of teaching, because good teaching is so hard that when I went back to just going through the motions, that also caused some conflict, because that wasn't good enough for principals or parents or curriculum leaders or board members. And I get it. I truly do. I understand that. Because if I'm being just very transparent, there have been so many times when I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I'll get an email from somebody at the school, whether it be a parent or a principal or, you know, a leader. And I'm like, what? This is nuts. Or a student will say something to me and I'm like, what is even happening? Or I will see something on the news or receive some information at the state level. And it's like, are you serious? That's not even reasonable. That's not even logical. Are we actually going to be doing that? And so I guess the question is where are you right now with the things that are actually within your control? Because I think we lose sight of this a lot. We get so bogged down and so frustrated and so fearful and so flippin' tired from a lot of things that are 100% not within our control. But the good news is there are lots of things that are actually within our power, within our circle of, I can do something about this. And what is within that circle of control is that even though teaching isn't hard and good teaching is, that at the end of the day, when we close our doors and we aren't having to deal with parents or principals or the press or all of these things, that we get to teach and reach kids in our classrooms on a daily basis using good teaching strategies. And like, I'm almost conflicted, because I could throw out, you know, buzzwords that like, what's good teaching? Rigor, differentiated instruction, project-based learning. Like, in my heart, I know all of that shit is good, but you do too. And this is not a podcast where I'm like, let's talk about rigor. Because at the end of the day, we know what rigor is. We know what differentiated instruction is. But I think what's most important is that we are going into this school year not with like, oh my gosh, here's what I'm going to be doing for RTI time to make sure that I am seeing 25% growth for every single student while I sit at my horseshoe table. For the record, I want that for you. I absolutely want your horseshoe table time to go great. I want your dual credit honors English kids that you teach to just absolutely crush. I want your second grade family to just go off the charts on state testing. I want all of those things for you. But until we get down to the basics of good teaching is hard, but let's be here for it, none of those things matter. That data doesn't matter. The learning goals that you have on a bulletin board, they don't matter. Until we commit to saying like, all right, teaching isn't hard, but good teaching is. And I just committed to good teaching this year. And here's another fun fact, is good teaching is going to look and sound and feel differently in every single classroom. Like, it's going to come with different levels of energy. It's going to come with different types of activities. It's going to come with different types of innovative instruction. It's going to come and look and sound and feel and be absorbed differently. And that's a good thing. My good teaching and your good teaching might be completely different. But here's the cool thing. At the end of this school year, we are going to have proof of good teaching based off of data. And I'm not talking about testing data. I'm talking about student data in a qualitative way. Not to go all science teacher on you, but qualitative way is not with percentages. It's not with pie charts. It's not with like point values. Quantitative data is when students come up to you and say, this was a great school year because I felt trusted, safe, and loved in this classroom. Like on a daily basis, I felt trusted, safe, and loved in your classroom, and that caused me to learn English better. Miss Genta, math was my least favorite subject when I walked into your classroom, but now I actually get it. Now I'm starting to learn and grow more. Hey, Mr. So-and-so. What, insert last name. Hey, Miss, fill in last name. Hey, Mr., fill in your last name. A student comes to you and says, this has been my favorite school year ever because never before has a teacher really tried to get to know me in the way that you did. And I actually hate school. I hate all of the subjects. They're all bogus. They're all a complete waste of time for me. But if I have to be at school on a daily basis, and I do because that's the law, then I'm glad that I was in your classroom this year because I listened more and I grew more and I absorbed more and I stretched myself more than I ever have. That's great teaching, and you're gonna have the data to support it. So which path are you taking this year? That teaching actually isn't that hard and I'm gonna go through the motions, and if you're there, if you're like mentally blocked and you're like, yes, that's gonna have to be good enough. Going through the motions is gonna have to be good enough because you're just stuck. I hear you. Oh my God, I hear you. I've been there. I've had some years like that. I got something that I wanna talk to you about here in a second. But if you're like, yes, that's what I want. I want that energy back. I want that. I want, like, I'm willing to do some hard because I know the hard is going to bring some hella good stuff. Yes. Actually, I got something I want to tell you about too. Now, this is just one unpopular opinion. I haven't even dropped the other one yet. That's going to be coming in the second part of this episode. And that's coming up in 2 minutes. We understand that teaching is absolutely an emotional journey, and some of us are coming into this school year being like, yes, I'm rested, I'm rejuvenated, and I'm feeling so good. And some of us are coming into this school year continuing to question everything. Why do I do this? Is this really what I can see myself doing for the rest of my life? Is my career really, truly my calling still, or do I need to pivot? Here's the thing, if you are in panic mode as a teacher, I need you to listen up. If you are in passionate mode as a teacher, I need you to listen up because there is something coming up and it is going to absolutely help you regardless on where you're at on the teacher roller coaster. If you know that teaching isn't hard, but awesome teaching is hard, then I want to introduce you to something called the Awesome Academy for Teachers. The Awesome Academy for Teachers is a 4-part virtual course that is packed with hundreds of ideas, hundreds of strategies, and so much support, so much motivation, and it's going to be the thing that you need to have your best school year yet. All of the courses are fun and flexible because they're virtual, and you can earn up to 60 hours worth of official PD credit. The cool thing about it is regardless if you've been teaching for 1 year or 25 years, regardless if you're a high school teacher, an elementary teacher, wherever you are at on your teacher journey, this is for you because it is easily adaptable and it is easy to engage and find fellow teachers from across the country who are just like you. I lead the entire course series in the fun, flexible environment, and I want to personally invite you to check it out. You can get signed up for the Awesome Academy at monicagenta.com/awesome academy. That's Monica, GENTA.com/awesome academy. I'm also going to put a direct link in the show notes. Let's make this school year awesome in the simplest way possible by getting signed up for the Awesome Academy. Check out monicagenta.com/awesome academy to reserve your spot now. It is time for the second unpopular teacher opinion. And this is going to go against maybe advice that you've heard. This is going to sound cliche and like, what are you talking about? So again, hear me out. I think routines get results. Think about this. Classroom management routines get results. behavior management strategies get results. Differentiated instruction types of routines get results. When we have structures and systems and routines in place, those get results. Now, here's the other part to this, is sometimes routines can lead to ruts. So routines get results, but routines can lead to ruts. So the question then is where is the balance? Where are you at? What I have found is that there are different times where we hit ruts in our teacher career on a personal and professional level. Also, there are times when routines lead to ruts on a social and emotional level as human beings. And I think if we are coming into this school year being like, yes, I love my routines. They got results last year. This system worked. This structure worked. This flow chart worked. And we're like, I'm rocking and rolling. My routines are getting results like crazy. Then let me just proactively warn you that, like, one, I'm cheering you on. Let me say that first. I'm cheering you on. If you've got systems and structures in place that are crushing it and you're like, I'm getting such great results from my routines. Yes. Yay for you. I love that. I have been there and it feels good. But I've been on a flip side of that where I've also felt blindsided because those same routines, those same structures, those same systems went from routines to ruts in the matter of a few days. Those routines led to ruts just kind of out of nowhere. And you're like, why does this not work anymore? This worked before. This worked with this group of students. This worked when I tried it in that small group. That routine worked because I had a relationship with the kid. And sometimes, especially at the beginning of the school year, if we don't also slip in a really important thing, our routines are not going to get results. Because I think sometimes as teacher, as we go through the motions and we're kind of in that like, I'm just kind of cruising through, we have to remember that routines get results because routines build relationships. And when we've got great relationships with kids, that gives us the momentum. At the beginning of the school year, the routines that we're trying to establish, whether it's a classroom management routine, whether it's a going to the bathroom routine, whether it's a filling out your planner routine or organizing your binder, getting your cubby all figured out, getting your locker all set up, whatever the routine is, that is going to lead to ruts really quickly if we don't understand the power of relationships and how those work with both the routines and the results and the ruts. I myself have absolutely gone through the motions and been like, yeah, my directions make so much sense. And then I think we're so good to go. We're starting the project. We're starting the activity. I feel like I nailed the directions. Everything's fantastic. And then we get into something and I'm like, why are we not rocking and rolling? Why is this not an established routine yet? And it's because you're like, Monica, you stand in front of somewhere between 50 and 150 students every single day. And you give those directions to multiple groups of students every single day. You have heard those directions. You've done this project. You've done this activity anywhere from 10 to 150 times in your career. These kids in front of you are hearing it for the very first time. This is not part of the routine. Your routine is not your student's routine. Your results that you've gotten in the past don't just automatically happen with the students who are sitting in front of you this year. And I know that's so basic. It's like so obvious. Of course they're new students. Of course it's a new school year. Of course we can't assume that everything's just going to go so easy. Yeah, I know, but as humans, it's almost like muscle memory. We get it. It makes sense to us. We've done it hundreds of times, but the kids in front of us have not. So the reason why I'm telling you this is because I don't want you to hit frustration this year when you feel like this shouldn't be this hard, whatever this is. Are you going to slow down? give yourself a little grace, give your students a whole lot of grace, and realize, like, the routines will eventually get results. But if the routines are leading to ruts, then maybe we need to reanalyze the routine. Change is hard, but change is good. So maybe the reflection question is what does need to change this year to set yourself up for more success? What routine needs to change this year so you get better results? Where did you find yourself in a rut last year and you just want to completely avoid that? Don't bury it. Don't throw it under the rug and be like, let's not talk about it. Like, let's talk about it. Like, where did your ruts exist last year? And where did your results happen last year? I myself got into a very big rut personally last year. My workout routine was off. My eating routine was off. And I know that that's like, well, yeah, but that has nothing to do with being a classroom teacher. Oh, yes, it does. You know it does. When you are a hot mess mentally and you're a hot mess physically, that screws up everything professionally. Your personal life and your professional life absolutely go hand in hand. So where are your results? Where are your routines? Where are your ruts? Maybe you need to jot those down now so you can just be super proactive about this school year. So there are the two unpopular opinions. Teaching isn't hard, but good teaching is. And routines get results, but sometimes routines lead to ruts. And I want you to know that I genuinely believe that this school year can be your best school year yet. That's not like toxic positivity. That's not like, oh my gosh, why are you being so like optimistic? Like, no, I actually physically, mentally, and spiritually believe that on a professional level, I believe that this school year can be your best year to date. One of my favorite quotes of all time, may the best day of your life be the worst day of your future. Essentially, let's just keep things getting better and better and better and better and better. I think we could say the same as teachers for a school year. May your best school year of your life be your worst school year of your future, which means that every single year is an opportunity for growth and learning and laughing and leading you into new dynamic directions that you never even thought possible. I want that for you, and I believe that it can happen. I want that for your students too, because I really do think our students deserve that. If any of this has resonated with you, if we are vibing right now, then I can 100% guarantee you that the Awesome Academy would be a great fit for you. Reminder, the Awesome Academy is 4 fun, flexible, very affordable virtual courses where you can earn up to 60 hours worth of PD credit. You don't have to worry about hotel rooms. You don't have to worry about sub costs. You don't have to worry about travel because it's fun, flexible, and affordable virtual PD up to 60 hours. So don't forget to check out the link monicagenta.com/awesomeacademy. I want you to know that I am wishing you great teaching this year. I'm wishing you awesome teaching this year. I'm wishing you so many great routines, so many great results, and I'm praying and hoping that we can just avoid the ruts. But when they do happen, you're going to be equipped with the momentum and the motivation to absolutely make this year awesome. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe so it drops into your podcast feed every single Sunday night so you're ready for your morning commute on Monday. Thank you guys for listening, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.